1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. And I'd like for you to look at the title to the message. As you look at the title to the message, I'd like for you to say it out loud. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. All right, now let's say that out loud again. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And now I'd like for you to say that out loud like it's a prayer that you're telling to the Lord, okay? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And all of God's children that desire the Lord to speak to them today, say amen.
Amen.
Anybody not a child of God desiring the Lord to speak to you, you can say amen too. He'll speak to you today as well. Let's read the word of the Lord beginning in verse 9. It says, "And Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening." And all of God's children can say, amen.
Amen.
Now, I'd like you to keep that up because we're going to look at another verse in just a moment. But by way of introduction, I'd like to just say these words to you. Many of us were taught to read the Bible and consciously not expect the experiences of the readers to ever be things that we experience. If I've got a witness in the house, say amen. What I mean by that is that we believe all of the experiences that we read about in the Bible actually happened to them. But we somehow believe that they were special people and those were special times. And somehow or another, by implication is, you must not be a special purpose, a person, and this must not be a special time. But I want to tell you that your Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And what happens when you read the Bible with your limited experiences in mind, as opposed to an open mind, believing that what God is doing there is something that God just might do here, then what happens is your Bible becomes an unreal Bible for you. I mean, it's true, but it's unreal. That what happened then could never happen now. Well, I'm here to tell you that's a lie that nobody benefits from other than the devil. God wants you to read the Bible for what it is, a quickening, life-giving, breathing word from Him. And that when you read the Bible and you believe that what God did then, God can do now, then your Bible becomes real and you don't have to take daily Bible reading like doses of medicine. All right, I know it's good for me, but I'm going to go ahead and get this down. Instead, you go and you say, oh my goodness, it's incredible what God might do today as I open His Word and His Word comes alive to me. Can somebody say amen? Now let me show you this. What kind of conditions were present in the day in which Samuel was living? Look at the next verse. It's really verse 1. It says, "Now the boy Samuel," about a 12-year-old boy, that's what a boy was when he became 13, it was time for his rite of passage into adulthood. And the boy Samuel was doing what? Ministering to the Lord. What does it mean to minister to the Lord? Well, in this context, and for Samuel, that meant that he did things around the tabernacle. That meant that he sang songs. That meant that he served the Lord. He met the needs that the Lord had said need to be met. And so he already has if we want to say it this way, a redemptive relationship with God. But let me show you what the condition was in the land. While the boy was ministering to the Lord before Eli, It says, and the word from the Lord was what? The word from the Lord was rare in those days. Now, what kind of word was rare in those days? Personal words were rare in those days. Prophetic words were rare in those days. Powerful words were rare in those days. Can I tell you that those conditions are similar today in the day in which we live? That there are not very many personal words being received like they used to be received. And a part of that is because of the unreal Bible. The Bible has ceased to be a supernatural book that has absolutely life in its words that can leap off of its pages and speak directly to you. But also prophetic words were rare in those days. God wasn't speaking in the prophetic voice through prophets like he used to do. But look at what else it says. And visions were infrequent. Visions were infrequent. You know, those same conditions are present today. There's not as many prophetic words going forth, and there's not as many God-given visions going forth today as there ought to be. And we want to look at how to correct that, all right? There are several things that I want to call to your attention today. And the first thing that I want us to do is try as best we can to go back and look at the circumstances that were associated with Samuel receiving this prophetic personal call from the Lord. That's the first blank that you would fill in, and that is the circumstances that were associated with receiving the call. And what I want to happen today, and what I believe God has said, is there's somebody he's been talking to. There's somebody within the sound of my voice that God's been calling you. God has been giving you a personal word. God's been giving you a prophetic word, but you've not known what to do with it. You've not known what it was. And you've tried the best you can to dismiss it, but it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back. The Bible says, verse 2, it what? It happened. How many of you know that it still happens? It happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place. Now, what I want you to just simply look at this, the circumstances that were associated with Samuel receiving this call. They were natural circumstances. It was a natural day like any other day before that. But how many of you know that God delights at working in the natural to put super in it to make it supernatural? God will work in your natural day. God will work in your natural circumstances. God will work in your natural problems. God will work in your natural agendas. God will work in your natural schedule to do the supernatural. And so here was this natural day that Eli was lying down in his place. His place was going to be close to the Holy of Holies. Now look at the next verse. The next verse. Verse 3, and here's another circumstance that you'd need to be aware of. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant was. Here's what I want you to understand about that. That's the writer's way of saying that the circumstance that was associated with Samuel receiving this personal and prophetic voice from God was after nighttime and before the sun rose. Sometime after midnight and sometime before 6 in the morning. You see, they had the candlesticks. They had the lampstands in the tabernacle to light the way. And one of the duties that Samuel would have done, that Hophni and Phinehas would have done, that Eli would have made sure was taken care of, was making sure that at the evening time that a fresh candle was put in each of the candelabras so that it would have enough light to burn all night long before the morning. And this was a time just before the light had gone out is when this happened. Do you see the circumstances that were associated with him receiving this call? I still remember the circumstances that were associated with me receiving God's personal and prophetic call into the ministry for my life. I was like Samuel in so many ways. I had heard the voice of the Lord on several occasions calling me into the ministry. But I felt so unworthy. I felt so unprepared. I felt so ill-equipped, and I certainly felt the least of the least. And after I struggled with this, I just couldn't get away with it. But I remember that it had gone beyond a question of understanding the call to it became a question of disobeying the call. I was that close to it. And I knew what God was saying. I sensed what God was saying. But I was still struggling because, oh my goodness, I thought I'd surrendered everything. I thought I had left everything. I thought I'd counted the cost. But man, to do this, to come up and say that you think that God is calling you to the ministry, I mean, who would say something like that? Either a fool or somebody God has chosen. And I wasn't quite sure I wasn't a fool, you know, to do that. When I got saved on that Tuesday night, October 21st, I made God a promise that from this night forward, I put you first. And God came back in the short process of time and said, I'm ready to take hold of that commitment that you made to me. If you'd have given me a list of 1,000 things that I'd be doing with my life, being a preacher wouldn't have been on that list of 1,000. It was just totally foreign to anything that I would have thought. But yet there was something inside. I felt like Samson in Judges 13:25, when the first time he came, it says that the Spirit of the Lord began stirring in Samson. I believe I'm talking to people that the Spirit of the Lord's been stirring you. The Spirit of the Lord's been stirring you for something beyond yourself, for something beyond your circumstances, for something beyond the now, for something that is eternal, for something that is kingdom, for something that is powerful and is going to take the power of God on you in order for it to happen, and you're just struggling in your everyday circumstances, the things associated with you receiving this call. Well, I walked into a teacher's training meeting. How many of you remember teacher's training meetings? Every Wednesday you sat in with a group of teachers, and they had a video lesson at this particular church, and you went over the next Sunday school lesson. And I was there in that lesson. I'm struggling with this eternal thing. I'm struggling with this prophetic thing. I'm struggling with this. And we got the most boring video teacher you can imagine up there on that. And man, if you ever taught like he was teaching, no wonder nobody would come to Sunday school. But you know, how many of you know that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword? He was doing the best he could to dumb down the wanderings of the children of Israel in the wilderness and the miracle of crossing the Red Sea and going in to claim the promise that God would have for them. And here, and in the midst of all that, God came and said this to me, Bobby, you can wander the rest of your life in the wilderness of unbelief, or you can enter in to my divine call and purpose for your life, and I'll take you into the promised land. And oh my goodness, it was like the room closed off. It was like the cloud of glory set down, and all I could do was weep and cry and weep and cry. And then the poor teacher, you know, one with a half tie, the big belly, that's not on the schedule. What are you crying for? It'll be all right. I'm just saying, it's there. It's in the Word. I had the Word over. It's right. Can you see it? Can you see it? Well, this wasn't for them. This was for me. And oh my goodness. And finally, when that meeting was over, it was time to go upstairs. And man, you talk about being drunk in the Spirit and not knowing what it was. Man, I staggered from that teacher's meeting room up to the steps. And I'm doing just weeping and crying and weeping and crying. And I just got to tell somebody. I just got to tell somebody. But how do you interrupt the prayer service when it's not normal? When it's not normal. And I'm sitting there, I got to tell, and I'm just crying and crying. And then the pastor, Pastor Ron Phillips, he comes out, and he says, I just had the strangest thing come over me in the office. He said, I sense there's somebody's got something they need to tell. And it was just an amazing thing. Those were the circumstances that were associated with receiving the call. It was nighttime for Samuel. It was just before daybreak. And God came in and had something on his mind for Samuel. If you got that, say amen. Amen. Let me show you the second thing. Don't dismiss the natural when God's wanting to do the supernatural. He'll do the supernatural, but it'll always be out of your natural. Then I want to show you the clarity of hearing the call. I want to show you the clarity that's always associated with hearing the call of God. Here he was. Eli had gone to bed in his chamber. Samuel had laid down to go to bed in his chamber. They're in very close proximity to the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant and the Shekinah glory of God. And look at this. That the Lord called what? Samuel. And what did Samuel say? Here I am. Now you see how clear that was? Do you see how clear that was to Samuel? The confusion for Samuel wasn't on somebody calling his name. The confusion for Samuel wasn't on him being addressed. The confusion for Samuel was, well, who called my name? Who did that? Now, why would Samuel be so confused about something that was so clear? Because the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. That's the same reason that some of you may be uncertain about the voice that you've been hearing. Because the prophetic, the personal word of God, like it was described for us here, is rare in your days, and the visions from God are even more infrequent. But here he was. That was a clear, concise word from God. And let me say this to you. Your problem and my problem will never be on God being unclear. Your problem and my problem will always be, I understand clearly what's being said. I either don't know if it's God saying it, or I know it's God saying it, and I still don't want to do it. Can anybody say amen? So the clarity of hearing God's call. God will always be clear when he's calling you. It might take you some while to figure out the voice that's calling you. It might figure out a while whether or not you're really that surrendered to it or not. Amen? Number three, we see the circumstances that are associated with receiving the call. We see the clarity of hearing the call. But number three, let me show you this one, and that is the confusion associated with discerning the call. We see this in the next verse of Scripture. It says, then he ran to Eli. And he said what? Here I am. Again, the clarity in which he heard his name called wasn't an issue. The confusion was, who called my name? Well, by process of elimination, there's only two people that have called his name. God from above the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant, or Eli. I think it was Eli. So who does he run to? He runs to Eli. And he runs to Eli and he said, here I am, for you called me. But what did Eli say? I didn't call you. And then what did he tell him to do? Come back and lie down. Why? Because if you're in here, I'm not getting any sleep. You go work your confusion out somewhere else. That wouldn't be the first young preacher boy. That wouldn't be the first one that came into an insensitive and unaware a preacher when you're hearing the voice of God. Why would Eli not know that was the voice of God? Because the word of God was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. Now, he ran to Eli and said, behold, I did not call, lie down again. So he went, and what did he do? He laid down. Now, let me show you the fourth thing. And that's the continuity of repeating the call. You see the circumstances that will be associated to receiving the call from God, the voice from God, the word from God. You'll see the clarity and associated with hearing the voice of God when God speaks to you. And then there's not uncommon for it to be some confusion about who it is actually speaking to you. And then number four, let me give you some peace and comfort right now. And that's what I call the continuity that's associated with repeating the call. One of the things that I used to just fear and tremble with is, oh my goodness, that if God has called me, what if I didn't recognize it? If God has called me, what if I didn't hear it? Oh my goodness, and it'll make a sensitive person to the voice of God and the will of God almost schizophrenic. It'll make you almost a basket case. But here's what I want to tell you. God is far more interested in you hearing His voice and recognizing voice than you are of hearing it and recognizing it. And God is extremely patient when He's teaching you what His voice sounds like. God's extremely patient when He's taking you from the level of maturity that you're at to the next level of maturity when you're at. And look at what happens. The Lord called. What's the word after called? And what's the word after yet? Say, yet again. I'm so thankful that God calls yet again. And He said the same thing. Samuel. So Samuel arose. He went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down. What's the word after down? Again. So what's Samuel do? Samuel goes down there. He lays back down again. And then what happens? What's the next verse say? Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been what? Now, can we talk for just a minute here? I'm talking to some people here today that you don't know the Lord in salvation. But that's not what this is talking about. There's some people here today that you've never been born again by grace through faith, and the Lord's calling to you to come to Him and be saved. And you need to recognize that voice today, and you need to respond and be willing to be born again. But I'm talking to a whole lot of other people here today that you're Samuel, and Samuel is you. And the way that you don't know the Lord is you don't know the Lord prophetically yet. You don't know the word, Lord, the Lord's voice personally and powerfully in a new dimension yet. Why? Because of the stigmatism that was placed over your Bible study. You were taught either intentionally or unintentionally, when you read your Bible, don't expect the things they did in the Bible to be true in your life. I had the testimony. I didn't get saved till I was 25. And I didn't have any church background. I didn't have any church experience. I didn't have all of that preconditioning stuff that some of you had. When I got saved, and I got the double dose when I got it. I mean, I really got it. I got the born again. I got the spirit filled. I got the joy of the Lord. I got it all. And when I began to open the Bible, began to read it, it was the most exciting things I've ever read in my life. You know, I'd go to church and I'd say, when do we get to do this? When do we get to do this? Well, we don't do that. Well, why don't we do that? Well, that's just a hard question. You don't need to deal with those things. You'll get messed up if you worry about those things. Well, what was happening? All of a sudden, somebody was now teaching me to read the Bible, but don't expect it to be real. Read it as a history book. Don't read it as a now book. Read it as a book of historical accuracy. And man, we fought for the Bible. We fought for the inerrancy of the Scripture. We fought for it to be the inspired, the inerrant, the infallible Word of God, but not a real word, not a now word. But I want to tell you, God is a God that still speaks to His people prophetically. Do you know what a difference it'll make for you when you begin to hear the prophetic voice of God talking to you? You begin to minister in a whole new dimension of authority and power. You know, when somebody comes to you and they come to you with a stronghold in their life, they come to you with a disease in their life, there'll be times when you begin to recognize the prophetic word from God, and God will tell you that this is not a sickness unto death. This is not a sickness that they need to have any longer. And God will begin to speak to you, and he'll begin to reveal hidden things in people's lives that are plaguing them with infirmity. And God needs to call you into that relationship so that you can pray more effectively. You can love more genuinely. You can serve more passionately. And you can minister in more power. And he says, now Samuel didn't know him that way. And the word of the Lord hadn't been revealed to him like that. That's why there was confusion associated with him discerning the call. But notice the continuity of him repeating that call. God repeated it. He didn't go away after the first time. He didn't go away after the second time. And look at this. In verse 7, we come to realize that God wants to reveal himself in order to fulfill his purposes today, just like he did yesterday. I don't know about you, but there are times for me when I feel like Gideon. When I feel like Gideon saying, oh God, if you're for us, then why is all this stuff happening against us? But then I feel like Gideon also saying, where are all the miracles of our fathers? Where are all the miracles that our fathers told us about? And you know what happened to Gideon when he asked God that? Your Bible says, then the Spirit of God came upon him mightily. And he began to prophesy and lead his people into victory. I don't know about you, but I feel like Elisha, when Elijah was just taken up, and he'd asked for the double portion. And with the double portion, the mantle fell down. And he picks it up, and he's got to get back across the Jordan. And he says, where is the God of Elijah? And he struck the water, and the water parted here and there. And he walked back over into a new prophetic ministry that he did twice the number of miracles that Elijah did. Where is the God of our fathers? Where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Elisha? And we see the continuity of repeating the call. You see, when Samson was born, his born was a product of a prophecy, of a prophetic word. You see, God came to his wife. God came to his wife and said that you're going to have a son. You're going to raise him this way. You're not going to have any wine. Your family's not going to have any wine. You're not going to put a razor to his head. He's going to be a special child that I am going to use in great way. And then the presence of the Lord left. And then she gets to go tell her husband, got good news and bad news for you. What's the good news? I'm going to get pregnant. Well, what's the bad news? We're going to have a Nazarite son. He's going to be holy and dedicated to the Lord all the days of his life. Well, who told you this? Well, I had a divine visitation. And he didn't tell me his name. And so the husband, he says, well, all right then. Where did it happen at? It happened over here. Well, let's go back. Well, guess what? The continuity of repeating the call. Then the angel of the Lord comes back. The angel of the Lord comes back and tells him the same story. And got any questions? Well, yeah, I just got one question. What's your name? Why do you want to know my name? Why do you want to know my name? Isn't it enough what I've told you to do? You see, God wants you to know what he's calling you to do. God's wanting you to know what he's equipping you to do. God's wanting you to know what the task lies ahead. And knowing it is not enough. You've got to be equipped with it. Let me show you the fifth thing. Then we see the counsel for acknowledging the call. Whenever you begin to have these prophetic stirrings, kind of like Samson did, when Samson did, and he grew, and the Bible says before he took that wife, that the stirring of the Spirit began to happen in his life. And the stirring of the Spirit is happening here. In verse 8, so the Lord called Samuel again for the, how many times? Third time. And he arose and he went to Eli, and I'm sure this is all he said, but if I went, I'd be saying a few, Eli, I'm sorry about this, buddy. This is I've been here before. But he said, Eli, here I am, for you called me. Then Eli did what? He perceived or he discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. Now, why did it take Eli three times to recognize that? Because the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were even more infrequent. But then Eli, as cold, as carnal, and as unspiritual as his life had become, then even Eli recognized that in the natural, God was doing the supernatural. Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling him, and Eli said, Samuel, here's what you do. Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, this is what you say. Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. So what Samuel do? He went, and he lay down in his place. You know, I believe that God gave me an impression. I believe God gave me a vision and glimpses. Is that there's so many of you that are ready to get in this position right now. You are ready to get in this position of Samuel to where you are now resting and waiting for that next time God speaks to you. For that next time that God calls to you in His personal and powerful and prophetic voice. I believe that many of you are ready to get in that posture and ready to get in that position in your spiritual life with God. And if He does, and if you do, and God speaks to you, what should you say? You should say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for your servant is what? Listening. I can't begin to tell you how valuable it is to have somebody to counsel with you who's been there and done that. Can't begin to tell you how mature it is to be willing to go to somebody and say, you know, these strange things have been happening when I try to sleep. These strange things are happening when I try to read the Word. These strange things are happening when I try to do anything. It just won't go away. It keeps coming back and it keeps coming back. But I want to know what it is and I want to know how to deal with it. And so Eli gave him counsel. Let me show you number six and we're finished. Number six, I want to show you the confirmation that's associated with embracing the call. The confirmation that is associated with embracing the call. Your Bible says that Samuel went back and he lay down. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. What did he say? Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, what? Speak, for your servant is listening. I believe that I've been talking to people that God's been calling you. God's been calling you, and now it's beginning to make sense that that's the voice that I've been hearing. That's the vision I've been receiving. That's the dream that I've been having. And you need to say to God, speak. Your servant is listening. Samuel did that. And then what happened after that? The Lord, what? Said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to what? Oh, would you say that with some passion with me? I'm about to what? Woo! I don't tell you that in my times of fasting and in my times of praying, that's the thing that God has been saying to me. Behold, Bobby, I'm about to do a thing. I'm about to do a thing. I want to tell you, Lord, do the thing that you want to do and do it in me and do it in anybody else that you have delight in doing it. Can somebody say, do a thing?
Do a thing.
Oh, Lord, do a thing.
Do a thing in me
that's real,
that's super,
that's natural,
that's powerful,
that's of you. Amen? Oh, do a thing. And God says, when I do a thing, man, I want to make everyone's ears tingle who's going to hear it. Everybody's going to know that I am doing a thing. In that day, I will carry out against Eli all that I have already spoken concerning his house. From beginning to end. Now, let me drive this home for you right now, because I believe the Spirit's beginning to stir in some people right now. I believe the Spirit's beginning to stir because the Spirit's about to come mightily on some people right now. And there are three things that I have gotten from the Lord that I believe you need to be prepared to embrace when this call comes to you and when you're ready to acknowledge this call to the next level, to the next level of maturity with the Lord. First of all, I believe that when God does that thing in you, when God does that thing on you, when God does that thing through you, then the message you hear will need to be shared with somebody. I believe that God has been coming to some people lately in their quiet times and making them not quiet. I believe that God's been coming to some people in their dreams and they hadn't been getting to sleep. I believe God's been coming to some people with his voice calling to you and giving you illumination and giving you assignments, and they're bigger than you. They're bolder than you. They take more courage than you have in the natural. That's why you're going to have to let God do the supernatural, because in order for you to do what God's calling you to do, you're going to have to be in step with him. But the message you've been hearing, you need to share it with somebody. Can somebody say amen? Amen. I've been hearing this message. I've been hearing this message, and you need to share it. And so when Eli came, the first person he had an opportunity to, Eli said, "What is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Don't hide it from me. May God do so to you and more if you hide anything from me of all the words that he spoke to you." So Samuel what? He told him everything. There's somebody you need to tell about the message you've been getting, about the voice you've been hearing, about the dream you've been receiving, about the vision you've been seeing. Amen? But then let me show you the second thing. When you are ready for this encounter that you're having with the Lord to be confirmed, then the message will be shared. But number two, the maturity you experience will become evident. The maturity that you experience will become evident. What happened when he discerned and embraced the voice from God, the prophetic voice from God? The Samuel did what? Samuel grew. Samuel matured. Samuel developed. He's not talking about chronologically. He's talking about spiritually. He's talking about in the realm of the kingdom. He's talking about in the dimension of the spirit. He's talking about in the sphere of the supernatural. Samuel grew leaps and bounds. He matured leaps and bounds. And what? The Lord was where? The Lord was with him. And what did the Lord not let happen? None of Samuel's words. Now, the words that he received from the Lord, the words that he spoke for the Lord never let a single one of his words fail. I want to tell you, when God begins to release the prophetic voice in you and God wants you to share the prophetic voice, you're going to have your Elis you're going to have to confront. You're going to have your wayward children you're going to have to correct. You're going to have your supernatural blessings that God's wanting you to impart. And when you do it under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, none of the words you speak are going to fail, because they're not your words. They're God's words. Amen? And the maturity that you began to experience and display will become evident for everybody. And as you walk, they'll begin to recognize there is a person that's walking under the influence of the Spirit of God. And 19 says, verse 20 says, "And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba." If you ever go to Israel, you'll see that's the measuring strip from north to south. From the point farthest this way to the point farthest that way, from Dan even to Beersheba, everybody knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. Amen? His maturity became evident. Number three, the manifestations will become treasured. The manifestations of the Lord's presence will become treasured for you and for everyone else. Look at this. And the Lord did what? Appeared. And the Lord did what? And the Lord did what? And the Lord did what? And what did the Lord do after he appeared? He appeared again. Oh my goodness. Do you need a fresh visitation of the Lord's presence in your life? Boy, I sure do. I sure do. Why? Because the previous manifestations are treasured in my life. If I never received another manifestation, they'd still be treasured in my life, and God would be as real if he never appeared again, because God doesn't have to give me a manifestation to prove to me that he's with me and that he's for me. He did that at the cross in the empty tomb, and his promise in his word, he'll never leave me or forsake me. But oh my goodness, when you walk in humility with the Lord, he just wants to reveal himself to you in new and powerful ways. And the manifestations will become treasured. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh because the Lord revealed himself to who? To Shiloh, to Samuel. At Shiloh, by the what? By the prophetic word of God. And the God who revealed his prophetic voice to Samuel is the God who still has a prophetic voice he's willing to reveal to you and to me. Are you ready to hear the prophetic voice of God? Would you say this after me? Lord, speak the prophetic word. Your servant is listening. Lord, speak the prophetic word. Your servant is listening. Lord, use the Bible. Use my circumstances. Use other people. Use my experiences. By the Holy Spirit to reveal your word to me. Because if you speak, your servant is listening. And your servant will obey. Say, Lord, I would receive your dream or your vision for kingdom ministry and my life. Speak through dreams, through visions, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.